And I readily admit to being a participant and a promoter of these fictionalized action figures, even in my own life and in the lives of my children. I spend energy and time, even money, in the world of make-believe, pretending to be able to leap tall buildings in a single bound, possessing superpowers to save the world, enveloped in ready-made capes from my mother's wardrobe. She knows I'm not telling a tale. She's sitting right there, and she can attest to the fact. Waking up early on Saturday morning, catch episodes of many of my superheroes on the Justice League. Some of y'all were there with me. You might as well tell the truth and shame the devil. You know you got up early, and even now spending money, take to movies and getting all of that stuff that you only have enough money to pay bills, but you got all the superhero trappings. And with all the people we can idolize and admire, emulate and imitate in this world, none can compare to the incomparable Christ. Great men and women of historical, social, and political significance who are esteemed and honorable, but there's none. Amen. Who lived to accomplish what Jesus did. There is no greater hero than Jesus. There's no better role model to emulate, no better example to imitate than that of Jesus Christ. Somebody will say, what is it that makes Jesus the supreme model? Well, there are too many adjectives in the human vernacular to even encapsulate what Jesus is. John said, if we were able to write everything about Jesus, he said the world over could not even contain the books that were to be written about him. So while there are an innumerable set of qualities, I just want to consider four that we will expound upon this morning and this evening, even throughout the week of Vacation Bible School. The book gave us four lessons, and then they gave us a bonus lesson about Jesus. And I'm going to use that bonus lesson as a foundational lesson, because Jesus is everything that is good and kind and truthful and courageous. There is no greater example than that of Jesus Christ. So this morning, I want to look at Jesus as the guardian of goodness. Also, I want to see Jesus as the king of kindness. And tonight, we'll consider Jesus the captain of courage and Jesus the titan of truth. Jesus is the guardian of goodness. When you think about a guardian is one who guards, protects, and preserves. Goodness is moral excellence, virtuous, righteous, or pious. Therefore, as we explore Jesus as the guardian of goodness, I'm presenting Jesus as one who guards, preserves, and protects that which is morally excellent, virtuous, or righteous. Not only does he preserve that which is, but he also preserves those who are committed to moral excellence, virtue, and righteousness. In Acts chapter 10 and verse number 38, the Bible says this about Jesus, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. It is said about Jesus that he went about doing good. How was he able to do good? God anointed him with the Holy Ghost and with power. Thus, his doing good was a direct result of the Holy Ghost and the power given by God. One of those deeds done by Jesus was healing those who were oppressed by the devil. The Bible records, I want you to go over to Luke chapter 6 and verse number 17 through verse 19. And I want you to see, even in Jesus' ministry, his good deeds that he was involved in. Watch now, the Bible says, and when he came down with them and stood in the plain, the company of his disciples and a great multitude of people out of all Judea and Jerusalem and from the sea coast of Tyre and Sidon, which came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. And they that were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed. And the whole multitude sought to touch him, for there went virtue out of him and healed them. Jesus, the Bible says, I want you to notice that virtue went out of him and he healed them. Virtue is the power and the quality of moral excellence. When Peter said, add to your faith virtue, he is talking about moral excellence, being good. It's interesting that the Bible says that virtue went out of Jesus. In other words, Jesus is so good. Jesus is so good that when you come in contact with him, whatever is ailing you and whatever has possessed you, the goodness of Jesus is able to pull it out. Why do you think that woman with the issue of blood crawled on her hands and knees just to touch the hem of his garment? He had, oh, I'm getting too happy too quickly. He has so much goodness that if you were to touch him, whatever is ailing you can't stay in you. He says he went about doing good. And then not only is virtue in him, but now he tells those who follow him, add to their faith virtue. Now, before you get too high and mighty, I ain't gonna be able to touch your hem and you heal me. But there should be in each one of us the virtue of Jesus, that when we touch others, figuratively, they ought to be better because they've been in contact with you and you've been in contact with Jesus. And so you got the power. We have the power to bring people into a relationship with Jesus Christ. He has put this treasure in earthen vessels. The only way the world is going to be delivered from the power of darkness is because you and I take the message of Jesus Christ. When we have this commitment to doing that which is good, I'm going to tell you, you're going to be blessed. Virtue, we got to add it to our faith. And if we just be honest for a minute, being good is a challenge. I know all that sound good about what Jesus had, but let me tell you something. Being good is a challenge. Watch what Paul says. Paul says, Romans 7, verse number 19, the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, here is the apostle Paul, who has the power to heal, telling us that he has a struggle with doing good. You and I, who have limited power, we have a problem with doing good. And so because we have this problem, we just might as well go on and be honest with ourselves that we're going to need some divine intervention to help us to do good. Because the reason why we have so much problem with doing good is because evil is present. Paul says in Romans 12 and verse number 21, be not overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. Now, because that's the struggle, there's so much evil that sometimes it brings up evil, and rather than overcoming evil with good, we respond to evil with evil. And so I got to, first of all, be honest with myself and tell you that it is hard to be good on a 24-hour, 7-day week, 365. But while it's a challenge, it's a calling that we have. Watch what Paul says in Galatians 6 and verse number 9. He says, let us not be what? Weary in doing good. He would not tell you not to be weary in doing good if doing good didn't weary you. Did you hear that? Let me tell this side over here. He would not tell you not to be weary in doing good if doing good didn't weary you. Some people will wear you down. That's why some of us say, you getting on my, because doing good will weary you. Paul says, let us not be weary in well-doing, because there's a promise with it. For in due season, we shall reap if we faint not. It will cause you strain. It will cause you heartache and pain. But keep on doing good. Then watch what he says in verse number 10 of Galatians 6. As we therefore have opportunity. As we have opportunity. We got an opportunity today. We got an opportunity this week. We got an opportunity to do good unto all men. What you mean? I mean all men. Oh, I'm talking about the man or the woman. Amen. That might be stressing you on your job. Yeah. Do good unto. You got an opportunity to help your supervisor, to help your coworker, to help your children, all men, especially unto them who are the household of faith. We ought to always be looking for an opportunity to do some good. And I just want to just drop this on us. Sometimes doing good may not always be pleasant and appealing. See, we think they did us bad when they told us no. Amen. No, they may have done you good. Stop begging, go get a job. Amen. Do them some good. I'm sorry. Let me stick to this lesson. Watch. Let me go to 1 Timothy chapter 6. Let me go to 1 Timothy chapter 6. And I want you to see this, verse number 17. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate. Watch now. Laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. If we're going to lay hold on eternal life, we're going to have some good works. We're going to have to be on a good foundation. We're going to have to do that which is good. Jesus, the guardian of good. Then, not only is he our example of goodness, he's the king of kindness. And I know you know him as the King of Kings. And Jesus is the Lord of Lords. He is the blessed and only potentate. He is above all principalities and powers and dominion and might. He has unrestrained power. But he is also the king of kindness. See his kindness as his disciples were trying to banish little children from the presence of Jesus. You remember those parents brought their children unto Jesus. And Jesus, his disciples were telling them to go away, but Jesus kindly said, "Suffer the little children, come unto me, and forbid them not. Such is the kingdom of heaven." Hear his kindness as he converses with a notorious woman of Samaria who had 5 husbands and shacking with a man presently, asking her kindly for a glass of water and then telling her, if you had known of the water that I have, you would ask me for a drink. Dealing with her, although she is immoral, but dealing with her with kindness. See the kindness on the night of his betrayal, as he kindly and gently washed the feet of his disciples. He took a towel and girded himself, got a basin of water, and began to wash all of his disciples' feet. And when he got to Judas, who was to betray him, I don't read where he changed his washing style and shortchanged Judas, but he washed his feet as well. I want you to see that he is the king of kindness. See, the king of kindness marched into the judgment hall. They accused him of so many things that we can't even begin to understand all of the false charges that were trumped up against him. You talking about somebody's rights being violated. Nobody's rights were as violated as the king of kindness. And in those insults, he never uttered an unkind word. When they assaulted him, he never did an unkind action. He continued to be kind. See the king of kindness, nailed to a cross. On that cross, he made sure to attend to his mother's needs. Wow! Nails were in his hands. And on the cross, he said, take care of my mother. Oh, the king of kindness. Hear the king of kindness cry out, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He is the king of kindness. And Paul would tell us, put on kindness. Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 12. He says, as put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long suffering. He wants us not only to look at his kindness, but he also wants us to put on his kindness. Oh, I know that's a challenge, because there are so many unkind folk in the world. But I'm telling you, before you strap on your seatbelt, make sure you put on kindness. Because there's some folks driving out there, and you're gonna need some kindness, yes, to make sure you say the right thing when they cut you off. You need some kindness, because there are some folks that will push you in your goodness.
Amen.
And they'll push you,
amen,
in your kindness. But you got to make sure when you come into the house, before you put on your robe and put on your house shoes, make sure you have put on kindness. So you can deal with your family right. You can deal with your brothers right. Deal with your children right. Because kindness is so very important. And it's what Jesus demonstrated in his life. And then the original text, I know I left there, never to depart, you thought. Never to return. But he says that we should follow in his steps, leaving us an example that we should follow in his steps. Jesus is the example. That word example is the word hupographo, which means to underwrite. You remember some time ago when we were in school, we used to learn how to write. We used to get homework assignments on how to write. Way back in the day. And the teachers would give us some lined paper. And on that lined paper would be the letter A. And it would be perforated lines. And it would have numbers even on the line, tell you where to start and where to. Come on, y'all act like y'all didn't do that kind of writing. And you, the A starts at point number one, and you go down. Then you go to point number two, and go down. And point number three, and go across. And you learned how to write by watching and attending to the model. Jesus is our example. He wants us to write and orchestrate our lives after him.
Amen.
He is the model by which when we encounter tribulation, when we encounter turbulence in life, he says, what did I do when I encountered those who threatened me? I didn't threaten back. When they talked about me, I didn't revile back. I want you to write like I write. And if you follow in my steps, you'll never go wrong. He left some footprints in the sands of time that if we would just pay attention when it comes to our marriage and follow in his steps, we won't get led the wrong way. All he wants us to do is follow him. He is the greatest. He is the greatest superhero. Oh, I know you want some Batman and Superman and Wonder Woman, but I got to tell you, and some of the other kids were disappointed in me saying this first service, but those folk ain't real.
Amen.
They not real. Amen. Jesus is real.
Real.
He was born from a real woman.
Amen.
Born and raised in a real city. Walked real streets. Talk to real people. Healed real sick folk. Came up out of a real grave, conquering death, hell, and the grave. I don't know of another superhero like that. I'm sorry I got too happy on you all. But I'm trying to tell you there's nobody like Jesus. Nobody like Jesus. And if our kids can get excited about going, well, not even our kids, if I can get excited about going and seeing that Avengers movie,
come on,
that I had my tickets 2 weeks before the movie came out. Surely, every Sunday morning, we ought to be excited about coming. Oh, we ought to be excited about coming and encountering with Jesus. And it don't cost you anything. But it will cost you. It will cost you. That money will cost you your life. He says, you got to lay down your life for my sake. In other words, you got to get yourself out of the way. I must become your all in all. I must rule over you. If I can't rule all, I can't rule at all. So you need Jesus ruling over your life. And he has the power to save not just Texas, not just Dallas, not New York, but the whole world.
Amen.
He is able to save, and he's able to save to the uttermost. If you're here, you're not a child of God. You haven't given your life to Jesus Christ. Today is your day to make him your superhero, to make him your all in all by having faith in Jesus, by believing that he came, that he died, and that he was resurrected again the third day for your sins. And then be willing to repent of your sins. That's changing your direction and change towards him. Confess Jesus to be the Son of God and God the Son. And then go down in water for the remission of your sins. And what he'll do is wash all of your sins away. Oh, the little kindergartners taught me that this morning, that he'll wash your sins away. If they know that he at kindergarten, 5 years old, that he'll wash your sins away, trust him to wash all of your Amen. Sins away. And then he'll give you the Holy Spirit
Amen.
Inside of you to help you do good when evil is present, to be kind when hate is present. Only Jesus can do that for you.
Amen.
You're here, you're a child of God, but you haven't been living the way God would want you to live. You know you need to get things right. Don't hesitate, don't delay. Do it right now as we stand, as we sing the song of invitation.
All my trials, all my care.